Have a seat. Well, this is awkward. Last Sunday, I preached about the good news of the endings of things. We worship the God of second chances, and endings are just the beginning someplace else. Yeah. And today, on what we refer to as Advent 1, the Hope Sunday, we hear Jesus say, "On earth there will be distress among the nations and confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint with fear and foreboding of what is to come upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken." Yeah, this is what happens when the team doesn't coordinate before a statement is released. Oh, Jesus. I thought we were going to talk about hope today. What are we going to do now? I, for one, was looking forward to the hopeful future where things that went wrong could be righted, where another opportunity to be our best selves as disciples of Jesus would become available to us. So much for a hopeful anticipation of the baby Jesus. There's nothing else to do now but remember that this is the master teacher talking. Remember that Jesus is always calling us to a deeper understanding from which we can draw a stronger faith. Remember that what we read on the surface isn't necessarily all that's happening. Remember that ultimately Jesus is on our side, encouraging us always to do better and to be better. Yeah. So, what are we to make of Jesus' forewarning in the gospel? What Jesus says is really nothing new. And we shouldn't be shocked by what we've just heard. People he was speaking to at the time were well acquainted with distress among the nations. They knew well what the threat of the powers of heaven could do to communities. What they understood now is no different than what we understand today. We all know what times of anxiety and crisis are like. Fear and foreboding can overcome the strongest of us. Over these things, we have little power. But Jesus didn't come here to make us afraid. He came here that we might have life and have it in abundance. His words to us this morning are what they were to his hearers back then. Jesus is helping us find hope so that we can then help others to find hope. The first thing Jesus does, and this is one of my favorite things about Jesus, is that he speaks candidly. I don't believe that Jesus affected a scary voice to add emphasis to his words to us today. He simply stated the realities of life. There are people in the world who make life difficult for other people, and sometimes bad things happen. There are many things outside of our control. But that is not to say that we have no control at all. There are things we can do that both buffer us from this fainting that Jesus mentions and allow us to get to that being better and doing better with a stronger faith as Christ has taught us. We are not called to be disciples of Jesus who seek to assert control over others. That is not our job. We have not been commissioned by God to subdue all things. No. We are called to bear witness to God's love as it manifests itself throughout creation. When we see clearly the truth that is before us, we can respond to our own truth. My friends, there are bad things happening in the world as we speak. What good can you do to relieve the suffering that bad things cause? There are mean people in the world. What goodness can you share to help restore our faith in one another? There are those who live with the fear and foreboding of what is to come in the world. How can you help others to be courageous? Throughout the gospel record, Jesus demonstrates for us his response to these questions in word and deed. Jesus gathers back into community those who have suffered rejection. Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan tells us the story of how to care for those who have been abused by mean people. Jesus stands up for the woman who seeks him out, who refuses to be silenced and turned away by his apostles. None of these stories are miracles that relied on Jesus' divine nature. These are things that Jesus shows us how to do in our own mere mortal state. And these things can make a big difference in the lives of our neighbors. We cannot control all the things that happen in the world, but we can control ourselves. We get to decide how we will respond to all of these things. The first thing we need to do is to disallow the fear and foreboding that we may be tempted to feel. Easier said than done, I know. But in the words of flight attendants everywhere, you've got to put your own mask on first before you help others with their masks. Nations will always experience distress, and it will come out in many ways. Allowing ourselves to be consumed in that distress dims the light that we are called to be in the world. We must help one another overcome the darkness of fear and foreboding. There is nothing more, this is nothing more than acts of community building. Courage, light, and love are just as contagious as fear and foreboding, but they have better results. Jesus says, "Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with the worries of this life." We can all think of something that weighs our hearts down. There are many cares and concerns that hold our attention. We are fortunate in this community gathered here that we can affirm each week that a greater power helps to raise us up. In a little while, I'll say to you, lift up your hearts. And whatever anxiety or difficulty may be weighing you down this day, you will nevertheless respond by saying, "We lift our hearts up to the Lord." And just like that, you're moving toward the way of love that Jesus calls us to. And that lightness that you choose to respond to today will be renewed in you. In our collect for the day today, we prayed that God would give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Give us grace to respond from a thoughtful place rather than a reactive place. Give us grace to choose the way of love instead of the way of fear. Give us grace that this armor of light shines bright enough to chase away the darkness of discouragement, fear and anxiety and loneliness of the people around us. Let our light shine as Jesus taught us with his light, that we can be a beacon of hope in a tumultuous world. Jesus was not trying to scare us with what he said in the gospel today. This is Advent 1, the Sunday we refer to with the word hope. Jesus was trying to use his light so that we can see clearly what is our purpose in the world. The disciples of the master teacher that we are called to be are called to use our faith to overcome fear, our clarity to overcome confusion, and our light to overcome darkness in whatever form that may take. These are the tools of disciples who are called to alleviate suffering in the world and to build communities of faith where we can affirm one another. That is the hope that we receive on this first Sunday of Advent. And that hope is the good news. Amen.